episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for your belief and trust in us. And you know, right now we are in such perilous times. If you are alive today, and if you are paying attention to the news, you see that there's so much going on, so much chaos. Chaos seems to be the word of the day. And I've said the word chaos a number of times this week that is applicable to things outside of the program, outside of even news headlines. And I find that word coming in more and more and more. But there is one thing that we can always rely upon, and that's our faith in God and the inerrant word of the Bible. And I want to thank Pastor Langford. He on Pastor Langford's website, Pastor David Langford is coming on next. He's going to be our guest for this hour. And I just want to thank him so much, because on his website, if you go to his website, thevoiceofevangelism.com, which is linked off of our website, HagmanReport.com, you'll find in the media section where you can listen to and watch the Bible. It's an amazing DVD. And, you know, you'll learn so much. Your senses, it's the hearing, it's the sight, that if you really want to study the Bible, what a great way to do it. He's got that, the DVD there for sale, as well as his two books, Revelation 13 Revealed. My goodness, you want to understand Revelation 13, he puts it out in a way that I can understand it. So if I can do that, myself as not a pastor, not a minister, but just merely an investigator, it's really a great job. So his website, thevoiceofevangelism.com, and his, of course, that's Pastor Langford. Before we get to Pastor Langford, I want to mention that, well, I want to ask you, are you a small business if you're looking to grow but can't afford the big price tag associated with advertising on nationally syndicated big talkers like you know, Sean Hannity and such? Are you looking to get the most exposure for your product or your service? Well, advertising on our show, the Hagman and Hagman Report, is the answer to your needs. We're unlike any program out there on the internet. We broadcast live 3 hours per night right here on BTR, on Global Star Radio Network, as well as YouTube Live. We dominate the 7 to 10 time slot. We're number one in a number of venues, and we have combined experience of over 40 years in the investigative business. And, of course, we're unapologetically Christian, and our show provides insight into national and international events from that perspective. So we appeal to the majority of people. We've created a special limited-time offer that will provide you with national and international exposure. We were downloaded in 114 countries last year, 75 million downloads of our podcast, of our broadcast. So if you want to get on the same plane as the big talkers, if you want to have the same opportunities as Pro Flowers and Omaha Steaks and Casper Mattress and others, all you have to do is this. Send an email to opportunities@HagmanReport.com. That's opportunities, plural, at HagmanReport.com. Or simply go to HagmanReport.com, click on the, go down to the bottom, look for Get Your Business Started Right Now, Get Started with Your Business Right Now, and click on that link. It'll take you to additional explanations and even testimonials of those who have advertised with us. With that, Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you to bring on Pastor David Langford.
Yeah, thevoiceofevangelism.com, Pastor David Langford. It's great to have you back on the show.
Great to be with you gentlemen tonight in the listening audience.
Well, there's a, Pastor, there's certainly a lot going on. I don't know where you want to start tonight, if you have anywhere specific in mind. I guess what I would ask you is about, we're seeing a lot of information and news about the inauguration, potential threats to the inauguration, and the disruptions that could occur. What do you expect to see happen on Friday, if you had to guess?
If I had to guess, I think it'll pretty much go off like it's supposed to. You know, I think it was last week I addressed 1 Corinthians 14:10, and there are maybe so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. They want us to believe that they're going to be able to disrupt. But, you know, the Bible said in Psalms 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And you know, there's a lot of Christian people that have really gotten earnest and sincere with God. And I know we're going to continue to have the Trump bashers. You're going to have people continue to castigate and ridicule them, and even Christians. Instead of obeying the Bible and praying for our leaders, which we are admonished, now, as I've said several times in the last several years, it has been very hard for me to pray for the Muslim that's been in the White House for 8 years. But if I'm going to be the Christian that I'm supposed to be, I am supposed to pray for those who are in authority. And the reason we're supposed to pray for that is that, like Friday, this thing will come off in an element of peace and quiet. 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And so as Christians, we have a responsibility to pray for those who are in leadership. I've done my own castigation of Obama. I'd be a liar if I didn't say it. I believe he's a Muslim. I believe he's a fraud. I believe he's an imposter. But he happens to be in a position of authority as the president of these United States. One of the reasons it's important to pray for a man like that is that God will keep him sequestered, that God can keep him from doing some things that he would like to do. You know, I've been going through the Bible myself this year, and, you know, God told Moses that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Of course, God gave Pharaoh an opportunity to let the people of God go, but he chose not to let the people of God go. Because he chose not to let the people of God go, then God hardened his heart. But in Exodus 12 and 32, after this is following when the death angel went through and killed the firstborn, and in the dungeons, in the pits, in the prisons, in everyone's home, God took the firstborn male wherein the blood was not applied. But after that happened, and God killed Pharaoh's firstborn that would have replaced him, Pharaoh finally concedes, and he says, take your flocks, take your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me. Now think about that. Here's Pharaoh asking God to bless him. Now, as I was exegeting that and looking at it in the Hebrew, some theologians believe he actually got on his knees and asked Moses, bless me. In other words, put your hand on me and bless me. Even though Pharaoh believed he was a deity, he was a god. And of course, whatever happened to him would be the fate of all the Egyptians believing that he was a god. And I say all that to say that God is in control of everything. You know, I really laugh at the liberals and their mindset, their hatred. And I also watch professing Christians as they have their hatred, their attacks, and their assaults on Trump. But the Bible says in Psalm 75 and 7, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, and he setteth up another. We got who God wanted us to have. When we got Bill Clinton, there was no one more depressed than me. Certainly when we got Barack Hussein Obama, truly depressed. But I understand there's a reason why God puts and allows men to be in power. God uses them just as he uses a Christian. Now, I know people will think that's a totally asinine statement. But God used Pharaoh to house, to clothe, to feed Israel, and raise a nation on their dime and not God's. And then when God got ready for them to leave, he said, I'm going to give you the gold, the silver, and the fine linen. So we have to be pragmatic in looking at why God does what he does, because we look at it all the time, or for the most part, on the superficial level. We just look at the very exterior. We don't know why God is doing some of the things he's doing. But I can go back and look through the book of Exodus, Genesis, go back to Genesis, and I can see God's purpose. He only took 76 souls when he took Jacob and the 12 sons, and they went down to Egypt. That's how they started out, 76 souls. And over 400 years, God grew this nation called Israel at the expense, and yes, they had to live under slavery, but this is what God did. This is who God used. And so we need to understand that God is in control of everything. And, you know, I just see this as a pause. The globalism is going to continue. There's going to be a one-world government. There's going to be a one-world system, because the book of Revelation tells us that's going to happen. It's the book of Zechariah where God said, I'm going to make Jerusalem a burdensome stone and a trembling cup, and all the nations that get involved, I'm going to cut them in pieces. And so this has to come to pass, because God has said it's going to come to pass. Now, it's God's choice to use who he wants to use. That's what people need to understand. Joseph had no decision in God choosing him to be the one son out of 12 that he would use to preserve Israel. God makes those choices because he is sovereign. Sometimes we look at people and we're envious, we're jealous, we are hateful. But the person has nothing to do with what God has called them to do. They either submit to the calling or they rebel against the calling. Remember when Samuel went to Jesse's house and he's looking for the next king? He stands up all of Jesse's sons. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. Surely this is the Lord's anointing. Surely this is the Lord's anointing. And God finally told him, said, you're looking on the outside, pal. I'm looking at the heart. And after he looked over all of Jesse's sons, and the Lord said, that's still not my anointed, he said, do you have any more sons? And Jesse said, I've got one. He's down, you know, attending my sheep, and he's a lad about 14 years old. He said, go get him and bring him up. And when he brought the psalmist David up before Samuel, the Holy Ghost fell on David and said, this is my anointed. And Samuel poured that horn of oil on David, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Now, whose choice was that? Was it Jesse's? Was it Samuel's? Was it David's? None of the above. It was God's. And so, as I said, there are those I loathe, I despise, I don't appreciate. I have, you know, I don't want to use the word hatred, but I have some kind of ill feelings toward those people because they're evil. But I have to understand that God has allowed that to happen, because God can stop it whenever he gets ready. You know, when God gets ready, he'll put a stop to it. I mean, he drove Nebuchadnezzar insane. Eagle's claws, feathers grew out of the man's body. And then after a period of years, God restored his mind. But yet God used Babylon to preserve Israel in their captivity. You know, Jeremiah told him in Jeremiah 23, he said, now listen, when you get to Babylon, you plant vineyards, you build houses, and you keep procreating because you're going to be there for 70 years. Now, the false prophet said, oh, no, this is very short-lived. It won't be but 2 or 3 years. And Jeremiah said, oh, no, this is going to be 70 years of captivity. And so God again used Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, to house, clothe, and feed the people of God. And then when it came time for God to destroy Babylon, he raised up Darius and Cyrus, the Medo-Persian Empire. They set Israel free from their captivity, allowed them to go back down to Jerusalem, and begin to rebuild their nation, and Cyrus was instrumental in helping do that. And God, of course, you've heard me talk about this the last 6 months in Isaiah 45. He said, though you do not know me, I have made you the shepherd to lay the foundations of the temple again. Now, he didn't have a relationship with God, but yet God used him. And so when I look at all of the things that are taking place, you know, I want to be respectable here, but some people are just talking out of their back end because they're not looking at the scriptures and looking at the deity and the majesty and the sovereignty of God. Mary had absolutely nothing to do with being chosen of God to bring in the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why Gabriel said, thou art highly favored, thou art blessed among women. You have no idea how immensely you are blessed, Mary. You've been chosen by God. And of course, that word is eulogia. We use the English word eulogize. And when you look it up in the Greek, it means that God brought her into a divine relationship with him wherein he had nothing to do with it. Same way with Abraham. Same way with Abraham. Abraham's father, Terah, made idols. He was a heathen. He was a pagan. And God in his sovereignty looks across the world and says, Abram, I'm bringing you into covenant with me, and you're going to be the father of many nations, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed of you. Noah was just like every other man on the earth at that time, marching in step with the world, marching in step with their drumbeat, and God taps him on the shoulder and says, hey, pal, come over here. I want to talk to you for a minute. I'm going to reign 40 days and 40 nights on this earth because it's corrupted, but I'm going to show you grace and favor, and you're going to build an ark, and you're going to save the animals, etc., etc. What did Noah have to do with that? Nothing on his part. It was God's choice. I was reading the other day in John 6:44 where Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. I looked up the word draw in the Greek. It means to drag, to hail, H-A-L-E. God drug us to him. People think they just came to God because they wanted to come to God. No, God came to you while you were lost and convinced you that you were lost and said, here is a way to me through my son Jesus, and brought us into a relationship with him. And most of us, regretfully, I was one of them, that backslid against the Lord, running away from God, rebelling against God, yet he continued to show me mercy. Yet I had other friends in high school, got killed in car accidents, got drowned, hit by freight trains, cars blew up and burned up, all of these things, and I'm like, how did I get by all these years? That's the sovereignty of God. And Doug, you said something at the beginning about chaos. The chaos will continue till Jesus returns. And, of course, they're going to be purveyors, according to 1 Thessalonians 5. They're going to say, peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. This chaos, this clamor, all of this junk, this rhetoric, this jargon, it doesn't bother me. Why? I'm not in the dark. God has told me, this is what you are to expect. You are to expect an Antichrist to arise. You are to expect a false prophet to arise. I gave you my word. There it is. Take it, read it, believe it, act on it, and you'll be prepared when these things come to pass. And they're coming to pass. Only thing I can say is, through all of this, is God has just paused for a moment. For whatever reason, I don't know. As I said a couple weeks ago, God may be putting together Donald Trump's cabinet for a third world war with all of these generals, rebuilding the military. God may very well be setting this thing up for the third world war. And there will be a third world war before there's an Armageddon. And I said it before, Israel may gain more land than they have now in this coming war, because they certainly don't have what God promised them from the Nile all the way over to the river Euphrates in Genesis chapter 15. So I just you know, as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, I just have to watch the Word of God and see how it unfolds. You know, unless God gives a man a revelation, gives him a dream, a vision, or an angelic visitation that's of God and not of the devil, because the devil can transform himself into an angel of light, you know, just like Muhammad. Joseph Edwards, you know, the devil's a master at transforming himself. So we have to know. Paul said, if I or an angel come preaching up any other gospel, let him be accursed. That's why we know that Joseph Smith, I think I said Joseph Edwards, Joseph Smith, we all know that's a lie, because he preached another gospel, you know, the Book of Mormons slash along with the New Testament. So it's heresy. And here's the thing, if we don't know our Bible, then we don't recognize when something is wrong.
That's
when
right.
When I know the Bible, just like an electrician knows a schematic, an electrical schematic, he knows how to run down that relay and knows where it is, what it's supposed to do, and say, that's why your air conditioner or whatever doesn't work. I can't do that because I don't know how to read a schematic.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. We can't look at the what's happening in the world, the current events, and all these different things that are popping up, these scandals, the division. I mean, you can't understand it without understanding what the scriptures say about, you know, how humans are, how evil works, how it influences institutions and people. And there's no other way to explain what's been going on in this country except to understand that there are evil influences that are working through people in order to bring a lot of this negativity, if you will, out and to create the chaos that's happening now, and not doing the justice of looking at scripture.
We also have Christians that are doing the same thing. 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Some Christians are so ignorant they become a device for the devil. 20 years ago, a particular person wrote it, promoted it, printed it on the radio. Boutros Ghali would be the Antichrist. He would be the 8th Secretary General. Did that happen? No. Did people believe that lie? Yes. It was from a false prophet claiming to be a Christian all the time. So this is why when I hear those things, I can automatically say, that's not scriptural. God did not give us Revelation 17 and then build the United Nations around that. I had a dear lady just the other day was trying to, she said, now don't get mad at me, don't get upset with me, but Revelation 17, the beast that was and is not and yet is, she said, well, that could be Obama was the president, now he's not the president, and then he'll be the Secretary General. He is the 7th, but he will be of the 8th, if you go on and read the rest of that in Revelation 17 and 11. But, you see, the problem with that is Obama was the 44th president, and I think the next attorney general, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, will be the 9th. So you try to take something that you think you understand, and I wish somebody would email in and tell you on the air, Moon is the present General Secretary of the United Nations, but is the
new one
coming
next?
I'm sorry?
We have a new Secretary General incoming. He's from Argentina. He's a big communist, socialist, and globalist. His name escapes me right now, but I will find it.
Well the question is, will he be the 8th or the 9th?
Okay, he will be. I'll tell you, 2 and 3 is 5, 8. I believe he will be the number 9.
Okay, so now you could take all of those false prophets who associate that, Revelation 17, let's just go there. Revelation 17:10, and there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, He must continue a short space, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the ape and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. Okay, I got three DVDs teachings on one of them is on this subject, the seven kings of Revelation, fall events, how all this will take place in the fall of the year, and the abomination of desolation, Matthew 24:15. Okay, so John said in Revelation 17:10, there are seven kings, five are fallen. Okay, who are the five fallen? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persian, Greece. That's five fallen. One is, what was the one when John wrote this? Rome. The other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space, 42 months. That's his time. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. Now, once this seventh kingdom is established, now to establish that point, you need to go back to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads, 10 horns, seven crowns upon his heads. The seven heads represent seven satanic kingdom and their dispensations. The 10 horns will ultimately have 10 crowns on them in Revelation 13 and 1. The seven crowns, again, authenticate the seven satanic kingdoms. Then when you go to Revelation 13,
Pastor Langford.
Yeah.
We are right up against
sure.
the break. When we come
You're
back,
right.
we'll pick up right where we left off. Folks,
sure.
You're listening to the Hagman Report with Pastor David Langford from the Voice of Evangelism. He'll be with us for the next segment. Stay tuned. Final segment of the evening. We are joined with Pastor David Langford from the Voice of Evangelism. Bookmark his site. He's got his radio show also on Blog Talk Radio, and you can find that from his website. Before the break, we were talking about Revelation 12, and you left off with the crowns. And before
yeah,
we break the... I'm sorry,
sure,
wait, Pastor.
Yeah,
just let me interrupt you. Before we go back to Pastor Langford, folks, I did something kind of, I made a mistake.
When you go to our video YouTube, when you go to our YouTube channel, just give it another, 45 minutes or so. The interview that we did with Leo Holman last night is, I had uploaded the entire show as opposed to just the video. And then today, when the interview I did with John Whitehead, I uploaded that without a title, which, boy, that was pretty cool. So, anyway, we fixed that, and the other is being fixed, so thank you for your patience. Thank you in advance for your patience. I just want to make that announcement because I was getting emails saying, what are you doing? You know, are you drinking too much there at the studio, or what's going on? So, it's just too much going on. Pastor, thank you for allowing me to say that. Go ahead, Pastor, and let's continue on.
Sure, we had to break those. Let's tile this together. Revelation 12 and 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, that's the devil, having seven heads and 10 horns and seven crowns upon his heads. The seven heads, again, represent seven dispensational satanic kingdoms. We named them off: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persian, Greece, Rome. We're waiting for the seventh. Okay, 10 horns, but notice these 10 horns have no crowns as of yet. So there are seven crowns upon the seven heads. That represents, again, the seven dispensational satanic kingdoms. Now when you go to Revelation 13:1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having seven heads, same dragon, the devil, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. Now this will be the 10 kings that will form out of that last seventh head, and we'll see that here in a minute in Revelation 17. Okay, now John here in 17 and 10 said there were seven kings. Again, seven dispensational satanic kingdoms. Five are fallen. Again, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persian, Greece. One is, that was Rome, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space, which would be 42 months. That's why every Bible scripture you read in the book of Revelation does not talk about 7 years. That is a misnomer. That's taken from Daniel 9:27. He shall come confirm the covenant with many for 1 year. But even Daniel 7:25, Daniel 12:7, and then Revelation 11:2-3, Revelation 12:6, 12:14, 13:6, all speak of 1,260 days, 42 months or time, that's one, times is two, now you have three and half a times, that's 3.5 years. That's why when he comes, he must continue a short space, Revelation 17:10. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth at perdition. So when this seventh kingdom comes to fruition, go back to Daniel chapter 7, the little horn will arise. That is the Antichrist that arises. He is the eighth, but he is of the seventh. I personally believe he will genetically somehow have a direct connection to all of these previous kingdoms, where this just a pure satanic connection or a possible genetic DNA connection. I can't say. Okay, he is of the seven. That's why he's involved in some of these kingdoms somehow, some way, I don't know how. And he goeth into perdition. Okay? That is 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except the coming of falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He will go into perdition. Okay. Now we're going to see the 10 horns. And these are the ones that get the 10 crowns and become the 10 kings of Revelation 13:1. So Revelation 17:12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. So to have be a king, you've got to have a crown, which have received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Okay, then it drops down to verse 17, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So, you know, you can go back to Psalms 83. There are 10 tribes. There are 10 entities addressed in there. Is it them? Is it 10 Muslim nations? You know, all of this has to be played out because some of this is still not yet revealed. And here's why I tell people, and you have to be very careful. This is why this is a revelation. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3, 6, and 8, I just quoted verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The word revealed there in the Greek means he's going to be made manifest, he's going to be disclosed. Verse 6, 2 Thessalonians 2:6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And then the third time, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. So this is a revelation. So everybody that says so-and-so's the Antichrist, I've heard Obama, I've heard them all, you know, Ronald Wilson Reagan, 666. Nobody knows because it's a revelation. It's like a, you know, every time they do a car show or they have a statue or a bust and they have this sheet over it, and everybody's anxious for them to pull the sheet off so they see what the statue, the bust, or the car looks like. This is what you have spiritually. It's not disclosed yet. We don't know who this man is. But when the sheet is taken off, when it's disclosed, that's when we're going to know. Now, what constitutes the taking off of the sheet? Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Those who have understanding are going to know that this is, number one, the abomination of desolation. It'll be the manifestation of the Antichrist. And the third thing will be Satan will be kicked out of heaven, and that's called the Great Tribulation period. For all of the people out there that encompass the wrath of God with the Great Tribulation, that is heresy, that is a mendacity, that is fictitious, that's not real. The Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan. No man can abide the day of God's wrath, Revelation 6 and 17. Nobody. See? And we know the church is not appointed unto God's wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, those that are asleep or in the grave, we should live together with him. So Jesus tells us, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, he says you're going to see it. Now, I know my pundits will say, oh, but the church is raptured out, so we're not going to see that. Well, I'm going to prove that that's wrong. When you go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul said, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Remember what? When you see the Antichrist sitting in the temple, opposing all and exalting himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's verse 4, and I just quoted verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica, you're going to see this. Now, when you see this, you need to remember what I'm telling you, because this is what's going to begin the Great Tribulation period, the manifestation of the Antichrist. And at that point in time, as I said, you go to Revelation 12, Satan will be kicked out of heaven. Revelation 12 and 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down into you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Why a short time? It's just 42 months, you see. You're going to hear clamor, you're going to hear chatter, you're going to have chaos, you're going to have confusion, but the child of God, the believer, we're not supposed to be in darkness, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5. We're supposed to understand these things. Now, I quoted Revelation 12:12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now when you look at Revelation 12, verse 14, drop down two verses. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent, that is, the devil, the old dragon, Revelation 12, and 7, 8, and 9. So God has given us the protocol and how all of this is going to transpire, how all of this is going to take place. Now, I believe I have understanding that this will take place in the fall of the year. How do I derive at that? Israel went into Babylonian captivity in the fall of the year, because on October the 12th, 539 B.C., they were set free. Jeremiah 8:20 said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. So what follows the harvest? The fall of the year. So they went into the fall of the year. They got seized by Nebuchadnezzar. They go spend 70 years in Babylonian captivity. Historically, it's a proven fact, October the 12th, 539 B.C., Darius came in, let them go free. So that 70-year cycle was completed in the fall of the year. And I derived it that also from Revelation 18 and verse 4. The fruits which thy soul hath lusted after are departed from thee. And I was reading that many years ago, and I felt the Lord spoke to my heart and said, look up the word fruits there. And I thought, well, I know what the word fruits mean, you know, but I didn't. Because the word fruits there, I think I said Revelation 18 and 4, it should have been 18 and 14, forgive me for that. The fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. The word fruits there in the Greek means at the end of the summer, at evening tide, at the close of the day. And so I begin to see this was becoming a fall scenario. That's why I did the three DVDs with the Abomination of Desolation, the Seven Kings of Revelation, and the fall events, because it's believed, Flavius Josephus believes that the Noahic flood took place in the fall of the year. I believe creation was in the fall of the year. Jesus Christ was born in the fall of the year. So there are so many things that happen in the fall of the year. That's why I term it the fall events. And so when you look at the Bible, you're to get understanding about these events, these times, and these things. You know, Paul said, you have no need to write to you concerning the times and the seasons. Why? Because we ought to already have understanding of the times and of the seasons. And so when we read the Bible, and we read the Bible correctly, and then we look at it, as Daniel said, Daniel made the statement in Daniel 9 and 2. He said, I understood the number of years by the prophet Jeremiah. By reading Jeremiah's epistles, or I should say letters, whatever you want to deem them, he understood that Israel would be in this captivity for 70 years. He got the understanding from the scriptures. Jeremiah 6:4. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. In the fall of the year, the shadows get longer because we're getting ready to go into the fall equinox. And so these are little nuances in scriptures, and when you start putting it all together, it really begins to make a lot of sense. And, of course, the Feast of Trumpets is in the fall of the year. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The Feast of Tabernacles is in the fall of the year, Revelation 21:3, and God himself shall tabernacle with man. So when you put all of this together, you can get a real synopsis. See, I believe the Great Tribulation begins in the spring of the year at the Temple Mount, somewhere around March, April. So you add 3 years to that, where does it put you? Back in the fall, back in the spring of the year. Now you add your half a year, half a times, 6 months, where would that put you? Back in the fall of the year, fulfilling Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles. So when you aggregate the scriptures and you look at everything, and you have to, that's why I tell people, you got to reconcile the scriptures. The scriptures are like an accounting book. You've got to reconcile the numbers. And when you're saying, well, this could be, okay, let's look if it could be that way. And like you just helped me, Doug, the next Secretary General of the United Nations will be the ninth one. So we know, according to Revelation 17:8, 9, 10, there's only going to be an eighth. So that cannot play any significance in trying to get the numerology right from using the United Nations Secretary Generals. So, again, we're going to have chaos, and the devil's a master at confusion. And this is why I love the Word of God so much, because the Word of God helps me to understand, gives me peace, and keeps the chaos out of my life. See? Even when Jesus was born, there were those, according to Luke 2, they were looking for him. They knew the time had come for the Messiah to come. And, of course, Simeon, the Lord told him, go now to the temple. He went straight to the temple, and there was Mary and Joseph about to offer Jesus for him to be circumcised on the eighth day, and he saw the salvation of the Lord, because the Lord promised him he would not die until he saw the salvation of Jerusalem or Israel. And so, you know, we have to put all of this together, and we have to make it make sense. You know what I'm saying? So when people say things or do things, you have to say, well, we've got to reconcile this scripture in Daniel with this scripture in Zechariah and the scripture in Revelation. And so when you tie it all together, then it begins to make sense. And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know it all, but what I do know, I feel like I understand. I understand it. It's not, you know, quote, for poor lack of words, it's not Greek to me. I understand it, but it's taken me a long time to put the pieces together, and that's one thing the Lord taught me. You don't ever glue it down and say, this is it, because no man knows it all, no man understands it all, and God can change it I hate to use this about God, but on a whim or caprice, God can change a scenario for a different reason that we don't even understand. We couldn't fathom it. We couldn't understand it if we wanted to. But God, of course, his sovereignty, knows why he's doing what he's doing. He knew why he allowed to happen what happened to Joseph. Joseph said to his brothers, you meant this for evil. God meant it for good. And so what they thought they were doing and they knew was wrong and evil all along the way, this was God's plan. This was God's design. So this is why it's important to stay in the Word, and more than anything, you know, work on your relationship with the Lord, your prayer life, your Bible reading. You know, we're not going to know it all, and we're going to know in part. Paul said we're going to know in part, we're going to prophesy in part, and we will know a lot of these things when they begin to happen. You know, when Israel became a nation, May the 14th, 1948, that was the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 37. The flesh came upon the bones, and God put Israel back in Israel, in their nation. They had been dispersed all of those years, and God brought them back like he said he would. See? And so when it happened, I think it was 7 or 8 minutes after they raised the flag of David, Harry Truman sent a telegraph recognizing the statehood of Israel. 7 or 8 minutes after they, Ben Gurion said, you know, we're a nation now. And and that's God's master time clock, Israel.
Pastor, we've gotten a lot of emails asking this one question, and I'll just pound it out here to this question. If you don't mind going back to the abomination of desolation, the start of the Great Tribulation, or start of the Tribulation period, when it begins, does there have to be a physical temple? Is it referencing a physical temple?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Now, I know people argue that, Nos, and I know all of the arguments that people throw at you, but let's look at what Jesus said. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, it's in a place it's not supposed to be. In other words, you see, after Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated, John Paul said it, Jerusalem must become the capital of three faiths, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. The Haley girl, governor of South Carolina, wants to go, she's going to the United Nations. They're wanting to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That's a very key point. That's a dangerous point. Daniel says that this abomination of desolation is going to stand in the holy place. Well, you got to have a temple to have a holy place. All right. Then the 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, he's going to oppose everything that is called God. He's going to oppose Islam, Judaism, Christianity, Zen, Shintoism, I don't care what. He's going to, Hindus, he's going to oppose it all. Because he's going to say that I am God. And of course, with the endorsement of the Antichrist and feigning lying signs and wonders, that they're going to believe this is the man. Okay, then you go to Revelation chapter 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. How do you tread over a temple that does not exist? In the 21st chapter of the book of Luke, again, Jesus alludes to the time of the Gentiles, Luke 21:24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, that's Israel. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. What did he tell John in Revelation 11:2? For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So, yes, I believe there must be a temple. They're talking about it right now. The rabbis are saying Donald Trump's going to help them build the temple. And even Putin, they say he's going to help them build the temple. That's what they want. Now, the reason this is an abomination is because Israel knows that there's not to be any images or statues or anything like that. That's thou shalt have no false gods. Well, once they set that statue up, and I believe it is a statue of the Antichrist, according to Revelation, as you alluded to my book, Doug, Revelation chapter 13, verse 14, the false prophet that deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, or the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So when they set that idol, that statue in there, and this statue is going to come alive. Now, what's scary about that is, to me, is what religion in the world believes in apparitions more than anyone else?
Catholicism.
You got it.
Oh, boy. Now it's a party.
The Greek says he breathes life, and this image comes alive, and it's the image of the Antichrist, because he commands the people to make. It's similar, nothing new under the sun, same thing that Israel told Aaron, make us a god. And then when Moses came down, he broke all the Ten Commandments, and the people were naked having their orgy. And, you know, Abraham said, we just throwed all this gold into the fire, and out walked a calf, and there it was. You know, so there will be, I believe, without a doubt, a temple. And that's what Israel wants. And there's already talk about, you know, Israel getting the inner court or the Holy of Holies. The Muslims getting the holy place would be the middle of the court, and then the outer court given to the Gentiles. And that's what he said. He said, don't measure. He told John the Revelator, he said, do not measure it. The court which is without, that would be the outer court. Why? It's given unto the Gentiles. And that's the only part of the temple that Jesus ever went into, was the outer court. He never went into the holy place. He never went into the Holy of Holies, because he was ultimately in the end going to do away with all that. So once you, if we see under Trump the embassy of the United States move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and they start to build the temple, folks, you better get ready. You know, sometimes, you know, we're looking for, you know, wild stuff. This will be as in order, just like they passed this resolution on 12/23. By the way, 12 means divine government. 23 means death. So by divine government of God, did the United Nations sign that resolution on the number 23, the death of America, the death of other nations? I don't know. But I'm telling you, all of this stuff, this is why it's great to be a Christian. We are witnessing God's word as it is unfolding every day. You know, all these 70s that's come up lately, you know, it's amazing. The wall will be built in troublous times in Daniel chapter 9. Just some years ago, Israel built that whole wall in a troublesome time, and it's helped preserve them. So, we know that Jerusalem is going to be overtaken at some point in time by the Antichrist, according to Daniel chapter 11. That's why, another reason I believe there will be a temple there, because that's what he's going to do. If you read the closing verses in Daniel chapter 11, you will see that. And he comes into the fattest, that's in Daniel 10:24, I believe, if my memory is correct, into the fattest places of the country, and the word fattest there means oily, And of course, the word, the Greek, the Hebrew word there is Medina, Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Where's the oil at, folks?
Saudi
the Saudis have the oil. He shall enter in peaceably, this is the Antichrist, upon the fattest places of the province. Look up the word province in your strong, exhaustive concordance. It will say Medina, and we know what Medina is, Medina, Saudi Arabia. So the Middle East is the key to all of this.
And, Pastor, this is a tremendous, I mean, this was just a fantastically informative hour. We're at the close of the program.
Sure.
And this is why, folks, Revelation 13 revealed from Pastor David Langford. You really got to grab yourself a copy, not just one, but a bunch of them. Give them away to your friends, because Pastor Langford gets really into Revelation 13 reveal much of what we spoke about tonight. God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you so much, everyone. Have a blessed night and have a blessed day tomorrow, and let's pray for Donald Trump as he goes into inauguration Friday.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Pastor.
That'll do it for us tonight. God bless everyone. Good night, everyone.